Well, in the past couple of weeks, we've had people looking towards Glasgow with their hopes. Emma Johnson, Dean of Science at the University of New South Wales, what are your hopes for this big COP conference?
My hopes. Well, when I'm feeling optimistic, I'm hoping that not only will everybody come together and recommit to the Paris Agreement, because that was, you know, a few meetings ago, meaningfully recommit to it, but perhaps even go further, because the science is now suggesting that we really need to get to net zero by 2040. And so that's an even bigger commitment. It's not impossible. A lot of science and technology still needs to be worked out to get there. But we need these ambitious, urgent commitments at an international level. And I can say that with absolute assurity because I'm sitting here writing the State of Environment Report for Australia. I'm one of the chief authors of that report. It's written every 5 years. And I feel like I'm cataloguing climate catastrophe after climate catastrophe that has happened just in the last 5 years. So it's definitely in Australia's interests to be having a really ambitious, rapid carbon emissions reductions targets across the globe. The kinds of calamities that I've been documenting, obviously the bushfires, the most extensive, severe, synchronous bushfires that we've ever witnessed. Three major mass bleaching events in the Great Barrier Reef just in the last 5 years. Enormous fish kills, the Menindee fish kills, for example. Great swaths of mangroves dying off due to heat, desiccation and drought. And just time after time, you know, the kelp forests disappearing, species moving. We really have got a major vulnerability to climate change, and Australia is feeling that already. So those impacts then have massive well-being effects for all Australians, for not only just our connections to nature and connections to biodiversity, but also for our agriculture and our industry and our tourism. So I'm feeling like I should be very hopeful. I don't know that the COP meeting is going to be the best meeting we've ever had. They're highly politicised. But if we don't have hope, it's a very depressing outlook.
Indeed. One wonders whether 190 different nations and their bureaucrats and their political leaders understand the science well enough these days, although it's moved tremendously in recent years, but will they understand it well enough, as you describe it, to make the right decisions?
They really do need to lean heavily on the advice of their scientists. The science is out there. We've worked really, really hard to communicate it very, very clearly and to make the projections and the impacts of those projections really clear. So you don't really have an excuse anymore not to understand. Even the uncertainties that used to dog us 30 years ago when we started talking to governments about climate change with a great deal of seriousness, a lot of those uncertainties are narrowing. Some of them are increasing around our prediction of extreme events. But there is no doubt now that we are facing an absolute crisis across the globe due to climate change. And so just following your gut instinct as a minister or a government advisor, you could probably get it right by saying we need to move fast, we need to transition as quickly and as urgently as we can in order to avoid catastrophe.
And finally, the point is, as marine scientists above all have suggested, that if you actually go with nature, you can do more for the economies, more for enterprise, than if you go against nature, as we have in the last century or so.
There's definitely economic advantages as well as biodiversity and social and cultural advantages to working with nature rather than against it. The solutions to, for example, sea level rise in terms of reducing storm erosion and intensity in some areas will be better met in the longer term by protecting reefs and making sure that they are healthy and vibrant and strong than they would be by letting the reefs die and constructing seawalls, for example, along the foreshore. Often, really, really often, you are much, much better working with the existing biodiversity that's there and creating your own natural defences against calamity.
Professor Emma Johnson, Dean of Science at the University of New South Wales, and she's a former president of Science and Technology Australia, an organisation which warned this week about our neglect of Australia's young scientists, just at the time we need them so very much.